This is a special Thanksgiving edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll hear an excerpt from our soybean panel held at the Farm Assets Conference on Monday of this week in Normal, Illinois. Our panelists for the day include Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, Ellen Dearden of AgReview, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Support comes from AgriGold. Celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
We still need to talk about the soybeans. This is a market that really turned around. Nobody was expecting that the bean meal would be the driver of the market. And Wayne, why don't you take that up just for a bit for me? Because it really drove in October the price of soybeans higher. Explain what happened.
Well, our bean, the pipeline got so empty at the end in August and September. I mean, I don't know, we're over here, but in around my area, we were paying $2 to $3 up to $4 over for beans the first 2 weeks of September before harvest really got started. That's because everybody was out of beans. If they're out of beans, they can't process beans. They don't make bean meal. The pipeline got empty going down south. You heard all of us, myself included, tell you how big a crop we were going to have, and everything was going to go in the dumpster. Well, we got held up a couple weeks on harvest. We didn't get the beans in fast enough to start processing them, and then the railroad struck. Or they didn't take a strike. They just hauled crude oil instead. And the crude oil kept us from moving the bean meal to the southeast, and we got way out of position as far as where the bean meal was. We had it here in the Midwest, we had it up in the West, but we didn't have it in the southeast. And we had a real problem and development going on. In the past, this would have been handled by basis level only in that area. This year, they decided they would also buy the board and the truck meal, and it doubled up the purchase of it, and nobody had that much meal because they hadn't had a chance to process enough beans.
Bill Gentry, as you consider what producers should do, I've heard this over and over and over, and if they've been listening on the air, they know that almost everybody says, if you have beans, sell them. And maybe not only for this year, but for next year. Why?
Primarily because the market profile has not been offering a really big incentive to store. One of the things that we watch regularly is basis levels as where it spreads in the futures market. And when you look at the difference between the NOV, which just expired, the January, the March, the May futures, there's been no carry in the market that says utilize your bins, store it for some particular point in time in the future, and capitalize on that carry. The market's not giving you that. It's saying bring it to me now. The other thing as far as basis levels, some individual areas may be offering some basis, but that has to be critiqued on an individualized basis. The other thing you have to keep in mind is that beans have migrated over the long term into a two crop in the world per year. So that if we come up short, we've got a 6-month marketing window that at the end of this, when we get to March or April, South America is going to be trumping our cards with another crop, which is probably going to be bigger than ours. So as far as looking forward, we've probably got plenty of beans right now available to us. South America will be coming online. And then for next year, we've been saying market some 2015 beans, primarily because the cost of production for beans, the price of beans, and looking at the soybean-corn ratio, which we don't watch so close, but we know it's a factor, the price for producing beans next year and the profitability per acre is better in a lot of areas. So we're probably going to see a significantly larger number of acres of beans next year, probably or quite possibly as many or more bean acres than corn for the first time since the early 80s. If that comes to pass with trend line yields, the chances of holding beans at these levels are slim to none in our estimation.
Oh, Ellen, I'm just not convinced. I shut the bin door on the dang things. I really don't want to open it back up, and China's going to keep buying anyway. Convince me otherwise.
I think I had that question at lunch. It seems to me that when we are looking at what we should be doing with crop that's in the bin, we always have to look at the carrying charge. And Bill just pointed out, we don't have any in beans. And we always have to look at basis. And basis is a whole lot stiffer, a whole lot better in beans than it is in corn. I think we ought to be sold out of old crop beans, or nearly so, at current levels. This market has given us a kick higher based primarily on investor money coming in, and I very frankly think they're a fickle group. So I would be a seller of old crop beans, old crop cash beans for that reason alone. New crop, maybe you have to be a little more flexible there because the basis isn't good for new crop beans, at least for out of the field or January 2016 delivery. But the board's up there at over 10 bucks. So I think we ought to be looking at making some sales on the 15 crop beans as well. And I'm telling you, go out there and start opening those bin doors, Todd.
Pete, you've got to convince me still. Are you in the same channel with everybody else that you want to make sales?
You talking to me?
I'm talking to Pete. You talking to me? You talking to me?
Well, welcome to Normal. My office is in Normal, so it's good to see all you normal people.
None
of us up here are normal, I'll tell you that. The blue sheet shows you the difference on beans. Last year, 2.6% carryout. This year, 12.5%. That's the biggest percentage carryout since 2006 on soybeans. And we expect South America to have a bigger crop than us. I'd have everything sold of old crop beans, clean out the bin, sell it. If you want to re-own it later, do it. But I would also be selling next year's beans. The old crop beans hit 1086 last week. They hit 1005 either yesterday or today. Dropped 81 cents out of the $1.80. We've already had the bounce up for a while. New crop beans hit 1056 last week. I don't know if they were back under 9. I think they were back under 10 at the end of last week. And they might have been a little over today, but we would be using 15 beans hedges to hedge everything because of tighter corn, less acres of corn. We would use 2015 beans to hedge corn, let alone beans. We think the price of beans could go under $9. Under 9. We're over 10 still today. We hit 1086. We've dropped 80 plus cents of that in less than a week. So I would be a seller of old crop beans. We've been selling new crop beans for the last 4, 5, 6 months. We actually sold them last fall. Well, I'm not very bullish on old or new crop beans. If we get a 30-cent bounce, I'd clean everything out old crop. But I don't know if we can get that until sometime later on. I mean way later on, February, March, April, May, June.
We have more than a couple hundred people in the room. I'm not going to ask you whether you will sell beans, but are you convinced that you should sell beans? Anybody? Raise your hands. I need a truthful answer. Oh, that's not very encouraging. So are you of the mind that if everybody up here is thinking you should sell beans, then you probably should hold beans, and it's just the opposite? Is that the deal? Is that what the deal is? I mean, honestly, what is the reason you would hold on to your soybeans? Anybody got one? Anybody got one? Where are they?
We sold them at 9. We sold them at 10. We sold them at 11. Yeah,
yep.
We did. They went up $1.80.
One of the things that we'd, in focusing on that topic when it comes to markets and as dynamic as they are, is having a flexible or a nimble strategy. Just making a cash sale, like Ellen was talking about, may not be the best answer. There's more than one way or more than one tool to use when it comes to marketing. And I think everybody up here would say different strategies are apply to different situations. So what you need to do is become educated or work with somebody that knows a little bit about it so that you can pick the right strategies, dial in the market's potential for 30 days or 60 days or 6 months, and say, I can accept this risk in order to lock in this much profit margin, and then work forward from there. And I think that's really, in this environment, this bean rally, expecting 60 cents up in corn and $1, $1.50 in beans, totally out of the blue. But if your market starts to do something like that, what's your contingency plan? What do you do? And that's what a lot of us really try to do, is anticipate that and say, my risk reward is this. This strategy is applicable. Let's try it.
I think one thing, if you look over at Greg Johnson sitting over there, and I watched some of his updates on the Andersons videos in the afternoon, he was talking about a mid-max contract where you buy a put, sell a call above, and you're willing to accept that you would sell it 50 to 75 cents or a dollar higher, whatever along the line, but you put a bottom into some of the things. I will tell you, I did not see the rally coming as much as it was. I didn't quite believe Dan Zwicker when he told me we were too front-loaded and we would not get enough beans and move them fast enough, because I really didn't think the railroads would be doing this bad a job. I really thought that we had a better railroad system than what we've seemed to have had. All these things come back to bite me. They nibbled on my heels. Yes, I did tell you to sell beans when they were cheaper, and I'll admit that. I didn't get all the calls bought to replace things I wanted to, because this thing caught me dumbfounded. But I do think, as we look ahead and after being caught wrong, I think that some of these ideas are still very good. Informa, which used to be Sparks, which has been the Bible of the books as far as looking at things, their average price for next year's cash on the farm is $9.55. for this 14-15 year. So for over $10 now, you've got a time when you're processed and all that are paying you $20-$25 over. If you can get $10.50, $11 from here on in, I think it's not a bad deal to sell a few more beans there. Do I want to sell them sub $10 cash-wise now? No, and I'll tell you why. Because Dan Zwicker, CGB, ADM, Cargill, and everybody has front-loaded this because they knew that when Brazil comes on the line with their production, that we're going to get shut out of this market with China, and they're going to go buy the cheaper beans.
They didn't do that last year, though, did they?
They didn't do it as much, but this is how the commercials were thinking. And when Dan gets up here later, you can ask him. But I'm going to tell you, from just listening to his videos, that he told us in a roundabout way that there was more beans to be shipped out. Look at the shipments. We're hardly shipping any corn. We're hardly shipping any wheat because we've got to load all those boats with beans to keep up with what we sold for that time period. You're going to get good basis levels when they need to move those beans out of the bin. But as we get down the road, you're a bigger gambler than I want to be if you're holding them into the time frame when Brazil's coming on very strong.
Hey, what's the difference, Ellen, between the carryout at the end of last year, or what we carried in this year, and what the carryout for next year will be? So it's huge, right?
Last year we were sub 100 million bushels. We came out at 92 million, according to last USDA report. And it looks to me like we're going to have at least 400, maybe as much as 500 million bushels of beans this year. That's just the U.S. When you look at the world situation, the increase is just as great. So the world's going to have a lot of beans again to move. South America and the U.S. both have logistics issues. That may be our ace in the hole, but right now it's right in front of us.
And do you all four want to sell some of next year's crop, too?
I want to be flexible with sales, just because the basis isn't that good. So I think you need to look at board positions, or you may want to look at long puts and short calls.
Yeah, I want to have 80% of it covered some way, somehow, for next year at these or higher levels. I don't want to take some low, low, low price down the road.
I'm 40% sold for next year. Half of that's in options. And I'm sitting back waiting now, because I think you farmers have been very good holders of beans. You've held them off the market. And we've probably got one more shot up for next year as we try to buy and switch acres around like that. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be talking about $14 for next year like we did for where we started our marketings for this year. So that's where I'm at.
Minimum prescription for new crop bean sales is 15 to 25% out of the gate, and I would say that most of our guys are appreciably past that with flexible strategies anywhere from short futures to bought puts and a combination of cash sales. So depending on the individual, we do have some guys as much as light yields, 100% sold for next year.
Anybody got a question out here they want to ask? Yep. Oh, hang on. Do you want to answer it too? It's Jerry Gulkey in the back. So the question, Jerry, is what happens once if we make new highs, what do they do? Is that right? Oh, what would cause new highs, and then how do you react? Okay.
Who wants to take it up?
Well, out of the gate, I would say we just basically touched on our 50% retracement 2 weeks ago, which looks like the high water mark for this move. It'll probably take something of consequence, maybe something Mother Nature-driven or political to make us take that out. But I would say sight unseen, a black and white strategy was if we take that high out on a closing basis in particular, simply buy an at-the-money call for probably a March, maybe Jan, depending on when it takes place, and just simply own that for the time being and see what comes out of it. Because the bean market has overperformed our expectations for a period of time, and usually when that happens, it means there's probably more undertone than we've given it credit for to date.
Old crop hit 1186. There were people saying we'd go to 98. That could still happen, but there's also people on the other side talking 950, which I think we got almost to 10 today. On new crop, we hit 1056. We went back under 10. I don't know what we did today, but I would be looking at buying puts and on whatever I still need covered. If it goes through the 11 old crop or through the 1050 on new crop, I'd be looking to add to sales if I haven't done very much, or looking at producing those puts.
I would say if we went above 1050 in the new crop November beans, I would be covering short calls for sure. If the volatility is as great as it is now, I'd probably be selling puts under the market and maybe being long a call, at the money call at that stage of the game. I think this market is very volatile, very jumpy, very uncertain. And at this stage of the game, with the investor money coming into it, it's been rather underpinned by that. What else is there? There's nothing. There's not a lot of fundamentals that can really support this market other than really good crush margins. Those end by March.
Okay, Wayne Nelson, did you see the announcement from U.S. EPA on Friday afternoon that they weren't going to make an announcement on the 2014 RFS? That's related to ethanol and corn, but it's also related to biodiesel. What do you suppose that means in 2015 when they come back, and if they decide to simply go with what's in the statutes for the biodiesel market and soybean crush?
Well, first off, we are crushing as much corn as we can for ethanol. Basically, the plants are all making very good money, and we're using a lot of corn, fortunately, because that corn would be a lot cheaper if we didn't have ethanol. The exports have been good, so I don't think we're going to change a lot for this year if they made the announcement. The biodiesel thing is a much bigger thing, and
right,
whether they have the support for it along the way. I hope that we can maintain the profitability of the ethanol plants and their crush, for many reasons along the way. I mean, it just is very helpful. It has added probably 20 to 25 cents a bushel to corn in my local area because there's an ethanol plant north and south of us. And I think that that's, you know, really added to stuff. But I think over the long run, unless they really hack into this and tear it apart so it isn't worth much, we're really having our own mandate right now just because of profitability.
This is a special Thanksgiving edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Excerpts from our Farm Assets Conference. You can find the whole of the programs on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
Let's check now the weather forecast with meteorologist Ed Keezer. He has an update of the growing season in South America.
I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer with a look at the weather for corn and soybean production in South America. This corn and soybean season is starting out on a wet note in many areas. Rainfall has been plentiful across Argentina and South Brazil for a while now, and rains have kicked in more recently farther north across Paraguay, center west Brazil, and southeast Brazil. We will enter December focusing more on finding breaks in the rain for planting than having conditions that are too dry. Zeroing in on specific areas, we'll start with Argentina. Rainfall has been frequent enough that planting progress has been slow thus far. A window of dry weather in recent days has likely allowed for a rapid pickup in planting, but another halt is coming. Rain will return over the weekend, stopping planting for several days. Then better weather for planting should follow, starting during the middle of next week. As we move through the front half of December, the greatest concern will be rain interfering with timely planting. However, crops in the ground are benefiting from ample soil moisture. Much the same can be said for South Brazil, including the states of Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina, and Paraná. Frequent rains during the South American spring have been common thus far. More rain late in the weekend into early next week will halt fieldwork for several days, followed by some drier weather later next week. Farther north, across Paraguay, center-west Brazil states of Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, and Goiás, and southeast Brazil states of Sao Paulo and Minas Gerais, rainfall wasn't as frequent in October, but picked up in November. Going forward, it appears that frequent showers and thunderstorms in the coming week will produce above-average rainfall. That will benefit newly planted crops, but will slow field work in places that need it. Looking longer range, a weak El Niño is forming in the Pacific Ocean. That is defined as warmer than normal sea surface temperatures in the eastern Pacific near the equator. El Niño typically has a direct impact on weather in South America, especially when it becomes strong. The key correlation between El Niño and corn and soybean growing season weather is wetter than normal conditions in the major production areas of Argentina and South Brazil. That is true especially after the first of the year. While this El Niño is not expected to become strong, a weak to moderate El Niño is likely. That is enough to increase the chance of above-average rainfall this growing season in Argentina and South Brazil, a weather pattern that we are already starting to see. That is your South American weather update for Commodity Week. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Our thanks to meteorologist Ed Kieser for his update of the weather forecast for the growing season in South America. He will be with us for the duration of the winter time to keep us up to date on what's happening with crops in the Southern Hemisphere, and from time to time an update of Northern Hemisphere conditions if they are warranted.
Thanks to everyone who attended the first annual WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference in Normal. We appreciate your support, and thanks to these businesses for helping to make it possible. Aarons & Sons, Farm Credit Illinois, ProSoil, Pribble Crop Insurance, and Pioneer Seed.
This is a special Thanksgiving edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Excerpts from our soybean panel at the Farm Assets Conference earlier this week in Normal. Our panelists included Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Okay, let's go back to a question you brought up of acreage. So we have some FSA numbers that don't quite calculate. This is probably more important that's a more important number for corn than for soybeans, if I remember right, the difference between what USDA says and FSA says, correct?
Yeah.
But next year we have to think about where acreage might be and what the shifts could be. And it appears, at least up front, that the folks in the marginal areas, but I think not the same marginal areas Bruce was talking about. The Dakotas might be more likely to go back to soybeans, and is there a shift to acreage that might happen there? Ellen, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I think so. It appears to me that the Mid-South with 90 bushel yields are going to grow a lot of beans next year. They have difficulty growing corn, not from the I can't grow it standpoint, but primarily because they get wet weather from hurricanes that'll take their crop down, and there's not a lot of drying capacity anymore in that area. So I would expect to see a tremendous number of bean acres come into the Mid-South. I don't know, maybe Jerry Gilkey could answer this, but it appears to me that we'll see North and South Dakota put out some more bean acres as well. So more, you know, some of the fringier areas. Sorry about that, Jerry.
Don't worry, he's going to answer the question in a moment, I know, because okay. I'm going to ask him to.
But we'll definitely go with more beans. I think the high-yielding corn areas will stick with corn.
I think we have to look at last year. I talked about 90 bushel beans in the south. Talk about 250 to 280 bushel corn in this area. Corn's not going to make that every year. We were talking earlier, two or three of us, about is this a once-in-a-lifetime or once every 10 or 20-year thing? But if you expect to make 260 bushel or 280 bushel corn every year, I think that's the wrong way to look at it. Look at what your long-time averages are and increase it a little bit. And on beans, the same way. But if I'm in South Dakota and I have a 120 to 150 basis on corn, I think I'm going to grow more beans. And that's what's happening there. So I think we're going to have more bean acres, less corn acres, and that's why we're looking at selling 15 beans and waiting on 15 corn.
The one thing we looked at here and we talked about is what could cause a rally instead of what could cause it to go down. I think one thing that really I'm dismayed by this whole thing, and I think a lot of other people are, is why are NASS and the FSA office so far apart on our acreage? You know, we've got satellite pictures that can tell us, can't we be closer than 5 million acres? I know that there have been some out there that said we've overestimated acres all along, and that is something. If we pop in and all of a sudden we got 2 million less acres of harvested grain, even if it did make a lot more, that does cut down our carryout quite a bit, and that could be a reason for one of the rallies that could happen.
That's one of the hanging points for the coming year, then, hasn't it?
One of the things about the Dakotas, too, as far as crop insurance is concerned, is their APHs for beans are not up to speed with what we're used to in the central Midwest. So seeing them switch to beans proper is probably not as much of a lead pipe cinch as it might be for some other commodities like spring wheat or canola or something else. Soybeans are a little bit of a soft issue. They also are very disappointed in the yield punch for beans. If they plant beans, they pretty much know what they're going to get, assuming good normal weather. So assuming that they'll switch to beans instead of corn is not a direct relationship from the people that we've talked to and the clients that we have.
You've been listening to a special Thanksgiving week edition of Commodity Week, excerpts from the soybean panel at our Farm Assets Conference. Over time, we'll put all of those panels up on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org for you to listen to, learn from, and enjoy. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great holiday weekend. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.